Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Lots of basketball going on this time of year. Obviously, the Gophers won last night by 25 over Central Michigan. The Timberwolves play right here on WCCO tomorrow against the Phoenix Suns. Joining us right now, a guy knows a whole lot about basketball because he played for the Gophers and he was a lottery pick into the NBA by the name of Trent Tucker. The irony of that is he joins us tonight from outside a hockey game where he's watching his son play hockey. Trent, tell me about this transformative experience for you. To sit back and watch hockey over basketball and what it's been like for you as a parent.
Well, you know, it's kind of fun for me now, Mike, you know, to sit back and watch, you know, my kid play a different sport than I played, and I'm learning about the game on a daily basis. You know, they enjoy it a great deal. They're getting some good coaching, some good competition. So it's all fun for them and it's all good for me.
Like, do you know the game well enough to know where he's supposed to be on the ice and how he's playing or not?
Oh, yeah. Now I'm learning the game a great deal. So this is like my, you know, my second year around, you know, the hockey arena consistently. So I have time to sit down and talk to some of the instructors and some of the coaches. And when I watch the game, I see a lot of similarities to basketball, you know, how they break out and how, you know, have wing players who feel, you know, who feel the lanes, and you have somebody in the middle of the ice with the puck. He's kind of like the point guard coming down the ice. And, you know, and you're looking to make the right pass or the right play at the right time.
You know, there's the North Stars had a coach by the name of Pierre Paget. And Pierre was, he was a fiery coach, but he was also a lot of fun to be around. Liked him a lot back in the late 80s, early 90s. And went out to his house one night to do a story with him because he was watching the NCAA basketball championship game. And the reason that he was so fascinated by it was he saw so many similarities between hockey and basketball that he loved watching basketball to see what they were doing and how he could incorporate it into the game of hockey. It sounds like you've had that same kind of epiphany.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy the, you know, the game is fast, and I really enjoy, like, you know, playoff hockey at the NHL level. I mean, you know, the talent and the skill. You know, those guys on a nightly basis are so much fun to watch. But, you know, the goalies are incredible. You know, when I see that type of talent on the ice and a goalie can get hot and shut a guy out like an Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby, that just tells you how good those guys really are.
When you look at the skill set of a hockey player based on your background as an athlete, what would you say are the most important natural ingredients that you have to have in hockey?
I think instincts. Toughness, willingness to compete, and you can't be afraid to get hit. Now, at this level, you know, they're not checking yet. But at some point in time, I've always told, you know, I always told my kids that, you know, if you continue to get better, you know, at some time, you know, you're going to get bumped around. And then we'll know how much you love the game of hockey. When you're able to skate free and nobody's touching you, it's a lot of fun to play, but all of a sudden when somebody begins to lay a body on you and they begin to, and the wear and tear begins to show up, then let's see how much fun hockey is then.
Okay, I had a friend that was out at the Timberwolves game last week when they played, I think, San Antonio. And it was one of those deals where he went with a buddy that had front row seats. And he said, you know, he hadn't been to a game and sitting in the front row for a long time. And he was reminded of how athletic these players are and how physical the game is. And how good you have to be to play in the NBA. And I said, absolutely. I said, the part of it that's missing for a lot of fans is they don't get to sit in the front row. And I wish right. Everybody did, because Trent, and you played the game, you've also sat there, etc. You see a different game, and you don't realize how hard and how physical this game is that is the NBA, and how athletic and strong you have to be to play this game, watching it on TV or watching it from afar. But when you get up close, it's nothing short of absolutely amazing, Trent.
Well, I mean, you know, when you look at the, you know, the athleticism as you talked about and the speed, you know, but the endurance and the conditioning, you know, that you have to put in to play at this level on a nightly basis. You know, you're traveling all across the country. You may get into a different city, you know, at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning, then you have to get up and play again the next night. It just shows you, you know, the commitment and the type of physical stamina, along with mental stamina, you know, that you have to have to be able to play this game for a very long time.
Now, tomorrow, Ricky Rubio comes to town. We saw him. We got a good sample of him here in Minnesota, et cetera. Actually, I like Ricky Rubio, et cetera, et cetera. But from the time he set foot on Minnesota soil until he left, we begged that he would become a better shooter. He never really did. You were a shooter's shooter. You were the ultimate shooter. Why couldn't Ricky Rubio master that craft?
Well, you know, I just felt like that, you know, he was afraid at certain times to take that shot. You know, I have to believe that he worked on his shot every single day in practice. The coaches talked to him, you know, about developing that stroke so he could help the offense out when the ball came to him. You know, but Mike, when you don't have the confidence, you know, to step up, especially when the game is on the line, you know, to take that shot, you know, it's hard to develop that shot. And you hurt your team because when the ball swings around to you and you go through every option on the offense then, and it's 6 or 7 seconds on the shot clock, and you have a spot-up jump shot from either 18 or 20 feet, you have to take that shot. Because if you turn it down, trying to make a play going to the basket, you know, you don't have enough time now to make an extra pass, and the defense can stop you from that standpoint.
But do you think he could become a good shooter, or do you think some guys, it doesn't click with them? Maybe their form is different in every shot. Maybe there's something they're doing that just doesn't allow for them to ever be a good shooter.
Well, you know, he just has to be a consistent shooter, but also a guy who is willing to take the shot. I've always said, Mike, you know, you'll never know if the ball is going to go in if you don't shoot it. Mm-hmm. You know, when the ball touches your hand, you have a 50-50 chance of the ball going in or the ball not going in. But I do know this. It's a 100% chance of not going in if you don't shoot it.
And, you know, I was just talking about this earlier. It is so important that coaches, youth coaches especially, allow kids the freedom to shoot the basketball, because you cannot become a good shooter unless you see that ball going in, because you have to have the confidence, and the only way you can have the confidence is if you have the freedom to shoot the basketball.
And also, you know, I would like to, you know, to see, you know, more coaches, especially at, you know, at the youth, you know, at the youth level, develop the proper technique, mm-hmm. you know, for guys to shoot. You know, if I could find a way, you know, to be a part of a large organization, you know, that dealt with youth basketball, and I could become, you know, their primary designating shooting coach, you know, I would love to do something of that nature, because it's so important at a young age to teach the proper technique.
And there's so many things that are just fundamentally fixable, right?
Well, see, and one thing, you know, when a kid becomes, you know, like a top flight recruit, you know, top 25, top 15 player in the country, if they haven't developed good habits by then, it's going to be hard to break those bad habits going forward. Because when you try to teach them something new, and when they get into a game-type situation, and when the pressure is on, they're going to revert back to the things they've been doing for a very long time.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important, you know, at this youth level, you know, that they're going to revert back to the things they've been doing for a very long time.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important, you know, at this youth level, you know, that you bring in the right coaches who can teach the proper fundamentals so those bad habits would not show up as they get older.
Now, I don't know if I like the Timberwolves or not yet. I know it's a new style and all those things, and we've seen some good games. We've seen some real clunkers, depending on what night you catch them. What do you think of this new style, and do you think it's a winning style?
Well, I know they want to get up more three-point shots, you know, but the one thing they cannot forget about is the mid-range game. Because, you
well,
know,
everybody's forgot time, about the mid-range game.
Right. You know, and at some point in time, you know, the mid-range game is going to have to come into play. I just saw a guy, you know, this past season win the NBA championship as a mid-range jump shooter. His name was Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the L.A. Lakers, you know, their best two players right now are guys who play inside the three-point line. You know, they will take a three-point shot here and there. And James Harden, you know, is the king of the three-point shot with the style that the Houston Rockets brings to the table. But when it comes playoff time, all of a sudden now, Mike, I get a chance to see you every day. I get a chance to study the film. We're on the same travel schedule. I get a chance to load in and take away that three-point shot. And once I take away that three-point shot, and if you don't have another game to go to, it's going to come back to haunt you for sure.
And that's coming from a three-point shooter.
That's coming from a three-point shooter. I mean, and I love the three-point shot. But I knew at some point in time I had to get that ball inside to Patrick Ewing.
Yep.
Michael Jordan, all of a sudden, I knew that, you know, when we ran, you know, the triangle offense and we ran all the options and it came down to the final pass to find him at 17, 18 feet, you know, he had a wonderful mid-range game. I love the three-point shot. I think it's an important piece, you know, to the game today. But also the one thing you cannot forget about is the mid-range jump shot as well.
Okay, so James Harden I watched last week, and I understand their analytics probably tell them something that we could all probably be aware of, and that is if he's on the floor, him going one-on-one gives you the best chance to make a basket, to be productive offensively and be on the floor. So why not give him the ball every time and let him do his thing and go one-on-one? I understand they've probably got an analytics package, the Rockets do, because they're known for that, that tell them that. And yet at the same time, I have a really hard time, particularly with Westbrook out, watching that offense and him play, because I love one-on-one, but I want to see crisp passing. Can that game ultimately win, and is it good for basketball?
Right, it hasn't won yet. And, you know, and everybody talking about the Golden State Warriors being, you know, a three-point shooting team. They just happen to have two of the best three-point shooters in the history of the game in Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Then you bring over someone like Kevin Durant. All of a sudden now this is a whole new basketball team, you know, to deal with. But when they were when you ran them off the three-point line, you know, they were still good enough, you know, to make plays with inside the three-point line, either for the pull-up jump shot or they could penetrate deep enough into the lane to draw the defense, to make a kick-out pass to someone else for an open jump shot. The Golden State Warriors are a team that can play like that is because they have a number of guys who can shoot the basketball well from downtown. But as we've seen, you know, James Harden come playoff time is not the same player at that time of the year compared to when he's doing what he's doing in the regular season, is because now we have time at playoff time to load up, to watch, to scheme, put our defenses in place, to take that three-point shot away from him. And once he begins to have to do something different, Mike, yeah, he struggles at playoff time.
Last question, the Gopher basketball team, they won convincingly last night. They lost three in a row prior to that, but they're trying to play a more difficult schedule because of the way the NCAA selects its teams for the NCAA tournament. Obviously, Coffee didn't come back. They lost Murphy. We know about all that. Are they a good basketball team, an okay basketball team? What are they in the Big Ten?
I don't know yet. I mean, it's going to be hard to what you think of this team at this time is because I think the season is too early. You know, they have so many new faces. Their best two players are still sophomores. We know the Big Ten would be tough. We've seen them go out and play on the road against some tougher competition. Things didn't go well for them. But I think right now it's too hard to say exactly, you know, what this basketball team is.
We'll find out in time. Okay. I hope you're dressed warm because you got to go back into that hockey rink, okay?
When I left, they were down 2-1.
Okay, well, go in there, and we thank you so much for taking some time away from it and giving us some time.
Anytime, Mike, you know that.
You bet. Trent Tucker, and I'm going to give him a title I never thought I'd give him, Hockey Parent.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.